Hey, family, welcome to the School of Life podcast. I am one half the dynamic duo. I'm Pastor Damon. I got my boy here, Mr. Hearn. What's up, man?
What's good, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to do this episode. We got a lot on the plate today.
Yeah.
But man, I think the family is going to be blessed by this conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, School of Life Nation, man, we're so glad. We see that you guys are listening. I haven't checked, but I'm about to check right now. So listen, if you listening to this and I see that y'all listening, write a review. Give us a new like. Okay, whether you listen on Apple, Google Play, Spreaker, Anchor, wherever you're listening, leave a review and please like it. And if you haven't yet, follow me on Instagram at Mr. Hearn.
And you can follow me at D_Allen_blessed.
Yeah. So today's episode is going to be entitled Slapped.
Slapped.
So I know that no matter where you are in the world, even to our viewership that's overseas, because we do have that, I'm pretty sure you guys have seen memes or different things of this slap that has took the world by storm.
Yes.
But before we get into that today, using the word slapped, it makes me think about, and then we're not too far removed from Black History, and we didn't actually have a Black History episode, but it's just so unique, Black culture, and how we come up with these different words, and how one word or one phrase can mean 100 different things. So it's so unique. So this word slapped, I mean, like, you know, the last time I had some good food, I'm like, man, this junk slapped,
that's
yo.
It.
Like,
that's
you know,
yeah.
You know,
and you know, that goes to show like the resilience of our culture, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we take so many things and then we just flip them.
Yeah.
We turn them on their head. And
yeah.
We make a cultural phenomenon where then Hollywood pick it up, then they play it out.
Right.
And then we make up something new. That's just how we are. So.
Right. Exactly. And especially like being from Detroit. So y'all know if you know, me and Pastor Allen here, Pastor Damon, is both born and raised in the city of Detroit.
Yo,
you know, so
up,
Detroit,
though?
Yeah, there you go. Detroit up, has its own lingo. So I wonder, hit us up on Facebook. Let us know where you from. Hit us up on Instagram, I'm sorry. Let us know where you from and let us know what lingo. So in Detroit, we say, what up, though? Like, everybody just say, what up, though? Like, it's just, it's what it is. And so I think it's just unique that we have our own lingo. But to just show you, you know, how diverse our culture is that we could take the frame, what's good, and mm-hmm. that phrase could mean 100 different things.
That's right.
So I could say, what's good, and I could just be meaning like, what, you know, what you got going on today?
That's it.
Right? You know what I mean? And then you,
I could be like, what's good? And you could really be thinking about, hey, you know what? What we got going on, not with just what we got going on, but how I'm feeling. You good?
Yeah.
You good?
How you right? How you
we
right?
Good?
We good? Right. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then you can take, you can say, what's good, and be at a point of like confrontation. Like, you got a problem? Like, what's good?
You good? You good?
You gotta,
we good, fam.
Right.
That's it. You see?
Right. Man, so just wanted to celebrate Black culture for a minute and just celebrate the uniqueness of Black culture. I was having a conversation, and I don't want to get too deep into this today because we got a lot to get to. But I was a part of this community meeting not too long ago. Matter of fact, the next one I'm going to invite you to is ran by a couple local pastors and the police department, whatever. So I'm definitely going to invite you out to that.
That's what's up.
So everybody comes dressed down. So nobody's in a uniform. So you don't know if I'm a cop or you don't know nothing, whatever. Mm-hmm. We purposely blend in with the community. And we do different things like it's like a childish game. You know, if you ever did this, raise your hand if you didn't fold your arms. So we go through all of this and you can look around the room. You got people from different, you know, age groups, different backgrounds, you know, white, Black, Hispanic, and different things like that. And you just see like, oh, you know what I mean? Who's ever stole something before? You know what I mean? Or who's ever ate something off the ground? I mean, just these random questions and you laugh and you have a good time. And then they pick somebody random in the room and they say, go around the room. Now, it's probably like 40 people in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
They say, tell me, police officer or not. So this lady, she goes around the room and she looks at a person and she's supposed to say, are they a cop or not? So she goes around the room, you know, and she got a couple right. She got me right only because she was struggling to open the door and I opened the door for her.
Okay.
So she kind of, I guess she figured like, well, if you was in the community, why would you be opening the door? Like, you would just be sitting down. You wouldn't be trying to, right. So
yeah.
Anyway, so that, yeah. But anyway, so after we've, so the whole purpose is for the police to understand the community and the community to understand the police. Without the police, is it notion of who you are, where you're coming from, type of thing. So so later on, we had these breakout sessions. And these breakout sessions, because they provide lunch. So it's like you had these big group and, you know, you encourage conversation and different points or whatever, and then you have lunch. And they break it up where it's like it got to be two community from people from the community and two police officers. And you have lunch and you talk about a question. So the question came up about police officers who work in the city of Detroit, living in the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the lady, I said, and, you know, she was real passionate about it. And I said, I disagree with you. I said, I disagree with you. I said, because it doesn't matter where you live at if you understand the culture of the people.
That's it.
And I said, it's not that we need Detroiters policing Detroit. Now, that's a good thing.
That would be a good thing.
It's a good thing. I'm in support of that. However, anybody, whether they're black, white, or whatever, as long as they are willing to understand the culture of the majority in this community, then you can have a successful police officer.
That's right.
And that's what I was trying to, you know, tell her, and this, and just knowing the difference between what's good and what's good.
What's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like if you don't buy in, or if you don't get to understand the community and what you're trying to police, then that's when it becomes an issue.
Yes,
so her notion is if you make all the cops live in Detroit, Detroit would be a better place. I said, nah, if you make all the cops live in Detroit, half of the force is gonna leave. That's and then it. Your crime rate is going to even go up even more.
Yep.
But, I mean, you want to jump a time
no,
in on that?
Well, no, I agree with you, right? Okay. And especially with the state of, like, education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that the city of Detroit, the education system is being rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's being revamped. It is a project within itself. Even though you got a lot of good schools, you also have a lot of areas where the school system isn't so good.
Yep.
So there are reasons why people have moved out the city, especially if you have a family. Like, you're like, okay, I want to make sure my kids are poised in the best possible way. But I think you're absolutely right. If you understand the culture of a people and you respect that culture, and not just respect them, but you also have integrity and you have righteousness in your heart, then you're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's not a locale-based thing. That is something that's in your heart. And a zip code won't change that.
Exactly.
It won't. It will not.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But that's a perfect world scenario, and we don't live in a perfect world.
Exactly. I agree. And I lived in Detroit. I'm a Detroiter through and through, and I lived up in Detroit until I got married. And when I got married, you know, I said, I can't be so Detroit that I neglect my family.
That's right.
And it's like, you know, with living where I live at, you know, I left my garage open the other week, and I went to church. It was gone all day. Left it open, came back home. You know, nothing was taken. I mean, I got two snowblowers in there. I got kid bikes. I got kid Mercator. I mean, I got all this stuff and equipment in my garage, and nobody bothered it.
It was
there. You know, how many times have I lived in Detroit and left my garage open and my stuff was gone? Now, I'm not bashing Detroit, but what I am saying is that, like, in my community, you know, people are not trying to take from other people.
Yeah.
You know, now there's thieves everywhere, whatever.
Yeah.
But the likelihood consistency of that happening is lacking out here.
Yeah.
So it's like, my wife tell me she going to the gas station, I'd be like, all right, I don't think twice about it. You know what I mean? I don't have to worry about, let me go. Like, I don't have to worry. My kids want to go outside and play. I don't have to worry about somebody speeding down. And I'm not bad. It's just community differences.
Well, you know what? Honestly, the culture in the city has changed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm slightly older than you, right? So I have the luxury of having seen the city when it was a little bit better. Maybe it didn't last that long.
Okay.
You know, the area I grew up in, because I honestly just rode through my old neighborhood the day before yesterday.
Okay.
And seeing the state of my old house I used to live in and everything else. But I do have the luxury of hindsight in remembering how good the community was. I literally knew all my neighbors on my block.
They knew
my family. They knew who I was. All the kids, we all went to the same schools, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school. And it was just that sense of camaraderie that I think that we've lost in the city that I wish we had back.
Yeah.
Because it actually made me very proud to be in my neighborhood. But, you know, proliferation of drugs and crime and all that stuff had really robbed us. And that'd have to be another podcast.
I know, right?
But it's true. It used to be so much better. I mean, Detroit's getting better.
It is.
But it's not as, you know, it was in its heyday.
Yeah, so it's getting better. And that change has affected, like, the mainstream Detroit. Mm-hmm. So downtown.
Yeah.
But downtown. It's time for that change to start to affect the neighborhoods.
That's right.
Where the actual people live. That's, you know, right. What I mean? So it's going to be, and it's crazy because, like, so growing up in my earlier years, so, like, elementary school, I remember, like, my neighborhood was nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, I can remember having, like, you know, fam, like, you know, everybody watched everybody, kids out on the block, right. On everybody's house. And then if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was when the recession hit. It was when Chrysler, Ford, and GM went down.
Yep.
It was like every week in my elementary school, people was moving to Atlanta. And I was like, why is everybody moving to Atlanta? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But surely happened. The recession happened. These houses got foreclosed on it. Then people went into these houses. Like, my mom block, the house that she still lives there that I grew up in, whatever, the blocks are, my mama block is nice, mm-hmm. But the block that before and
the bookend blocks, yeah,
man, it looked like a war zone, yeah. Like a bomb hit it, like, yep. The houses have been stripped,
and it didn't used to look,
it
like
didn't
that.
Used to look like at all. I mean, it was like all those houses were occupied, all, mm-hmm. Those houses were nice, and it's like, man, it's crazy. But
yeah,
that's the episode for another day.
We're gonna have to do that another day.
Yeah, we gonna. So it was last Sunday. I was sitting up with my boo, my wife. And we were watching Force, Tommy's, this power spinoff, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom calling me, and it's like 9:30. I'm like, we don't know what my mom wants. So I interrupt what we doing. I answer the phone. So mom's like, I can't believe it. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm like, well, something wrong. Somebody done died. Like, yeah. She yelling. She said, Will Smith just went up to the stage and smacked Chris Rock, and it went silent.
Slap.
And I said, what? I said, all right, ma, I got the phone. So my wife was like, what was that? I was like, she said Will Smith slapped Chris Rock or something. Mm-hmm. So when our show went off, I got on my phone, got on Facebook, and I seen it. And my first reaction to it was, this is fake. This ain't real.
Yeah.
And then I saw somebody sent me another clip, because the first clip that I saw was muted. Mm-hmm. It was muted. So it was like, you hear Chris Rock tell a G.I. Jane joke, and then you see him go up to the stage, he smacks him, and then he goes back. He's yelling something, but you can't hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Second video, I see that he's saying, like, keep my wife's name out your mouth. And I said, oh.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
for real. This yeah. ain't no joke. This no, is, it wasn't. This is serious. So what was your experience of finding out?
It was like the next day for me.
Okay.
It was the next day for me because, you know, we had a long day at church. And then, you know, me and my wife, like y'all, mm-hmm. you know, watching movies, getting mm-hmm. kids ready for school.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next day I saw it and I was like, man, this got to be fake. Because I saw like a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, it's the Oscars. This got to be fake.
Uh-huh.
So after we had the kids off to school, I went and looked at the video. I was like, oh, this is real. Like this man, like, and this is how epic the slap was, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was so epic, it stopped. Everybody talking about Ukraine and Russia. Like, everybody stopped talking about that.
And they still ain't picked it back up
they
yet.
They ain't picked it back up yet. Like, you know, like, this took over ESPN, Shannon Sharp talking about it, NBA analysts talking about it.
Wow.
Look, people on, like, you know, I'm a sci-fi nerd, right? Mm. People in the sci-fi community made memes. I'm like, what is going on Mm-mm. here? Crazy. Crazy.
Man. Yeah. Wow. So, there are so many perspectives out on this.
Yeah.
I've heard the perspective that Will Smith was wrong. I've heard the perspective of, somebody said something like, all y'all grown men always talking about y'all gonna slap somebody if they do something, and a man go and slap somebody, and now y'all all saying he wrong. I've heard that black men are supposed to defend black women.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his queen. He could defend, you know, he could defend her. You know, he's standing up for his wife. And I've heard so many different perspectives on this. So I'm just wondering, what is your perspective on this? Come on, break it down.
So the first, I'm going to tell you my first reaction, as always, when anybody that does something like this is I want to pray for them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's because this is not, at least from what we've seen,
mm-hmm.
this ain't the MO for Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, how he's interact, how he's handled different things we've seen him handle, or or people talking about him, or his movies bombing out, or people even, you know, talking about his wife and kids. Like, we haven't seen that. And he's very present on social media and all that. So the first thing I thought is, man, this guy got a lot on his plate, right, to do something like this, because it can inadvertently, and it is going to inadvertently, it's going to affect his career. Right, like that was a night. The Oscars are like the night that you dream of as an entertainer. Like you want that. Like you want that trophy. You want that validation that your career's work or your lifetime of work is being appreciated and is being looked at. So for something like that to happen in that venue, you know, the first thing I say as a pastor is that man, that's the first thing I said, that man is going through something. Because, you know, we have to think that, you know, for the last few years, whether it's things with his kids or things with his marriage and with his wife and all these memes and all this other stuff, it, at some point, pressure is going to get to you. So I that was my first thing, praying for him. Now, from my perspective, because a lot of times we look at stuff in a vacuum and we just say, well, he was protecting his wife, he was protecting his queen, which I'm all for, right? Like, I believe in protecting my wife. I believe that, let me put it like this, somebody said something crazy to my wife and we were out the country. They said something crazy. And I stepped right in. I said, look here, homie. I don't care what language you speaking. You're going to understand this. I'm from Detroit. You say something else to my wife. I didn't speak his language, but he understood what I was saying. So I'm all for protecting our spouses, because as a man, that's what we're supposed to do. But when we look at this thing, right, and we look at it outside of the vacuum of what was said, you know, you look at the venue. And Will Smith isn't like you and I, right? Like, there's a gift of anonymity that we have, right? Like, it, and I thank God for that gift of being anonymous sometimes, right? Like, we people know us in Detroit, but, you know, people don't know us all over the world, at least not yet, you know. That's why we need y'all to share the podcast. But you But you know, this man has a platform already. He has a career, and so much of that career is based on the goodwill of people. Right. And this isn't the first time he's had to deal with things like this. But let me get to my point. My point is this, is that we all know that had this been someone else, it probably wouldn't have went down like this. Like, you know, Chris Rock is not he ain't Dave Chappelle. He ain't Kevin Hart. He ain't, you know, Dwayne Johnson. He's not any Caucasian comedian. He's not that. He's just Chris Rock. He is. Nobody's afraid of Chris Rock.
Right.
So when you slap Chris Rock, that ain't. I mean, you know, come on, man.
Like,
that,
who you really smack?
You know, that's Pookie from New Jack City.
Right.
You know, you didn't slap anybody prominent. So, you know, the reverberations of that aren't the same. Okay. And I guess I look at it as, yeah, I think he was wrong. I think he handled it the wrong way. And maybe he handled it that way because of some stress. But in my opinion, he didn't handle it the right way just because of so many other things. But that's just part of my take. I'm going to give it back to you. I got some more to say about it, but I'm getting off the soapbox. Mr. Hearn, I'm getting off the soapbox.
All right. So, which I've value your and I think that is so. First of all, I commend you, because even myself, I think that you looked at that and instantly you was able to not sympathize, you was able to empathize with him.
Yeah,
right. You look at that and was like, oh man, he ain't, you know, he ain't crazy, or oh, this has been out of his mind, or why would he do that, or go black man, go do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You was like, wow man, like he must got a lot on him.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times when stuff like this happens, that we fail to realize is that we're all humans having human responses.
Yeah.
And we all are subject to life, and you just don't know people's boiling point and where you're going to tip them off. So I think that's a great point that I wanted to commend you on. And if I could just stop right there and tell people that, yo, sometimes people do some crazy stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes they do it because they're narcissists, and other times they do it because they're human.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, you know, it's up to us to know the difference and be able to sympathize. And now that doesn't make them right.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't justify what they do,
mm-hmm.
but just to understand and take a step back and say, okay, this is a human being having a human experience,
yeah,
is I think that's very, very, very commendable, because I was like, I didn't even do that, you know? But what I would say is I thought that Will Smith was flat out wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, as wrong as mama would say with two left shoes.
That's it.
I think that, I mean, like, I don't have an excuse for him. I just think that, like, first of all, Chris Rock is a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the first joke that was told that night, and it wasn't the last joke that was told that night. And, you know, so I don't know what Will Smith is going through internally, but I just say, as human beings and as grown men, we have to be, we have to learn how to act under pressure.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to be cool. We have to learn how to be level headed. We have to learn how to act with honor and dignity, and not allow external forces to push us.
Yeah.
Because to me, if you're okay with what Will Smith did, then you're okay with everybody in the hood who was disrespected, who came back and caused physical harm to somebody else.
Yep.
Whether it was by a smack, whether it was by a gun, whether it was jump. If you think what Will Smith did, okay, then every hood beef is justified.
Yeah.
And it's just not. So I first thought that he was wrong. I thought he was so wrong. And I thought that, like, to me, if you felt, and I'm not trying to Monday morning quarterback, but to me, if you felt what you felt like, I thought him standing up and saying, keep my name out your mouth,
mm-hmm,
I think that would have been just like, that would have been enough. That would have been like, okay, wow.
Yeah, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Right.
That's
I mean, this is still the Oscars.
Yeah.
It's still on live TV. So if you would have yelled that, I think Chris Rock would have been like, oh, he's serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's serious. And so, like, I'm disappointed in Will Smith. I know that he's human. I'm disappointed in his behavior. And I think that it's unexcusable. I believe in standing up and defending what is yours and protecting what is yours. But I think at the point, I think the line is physical harm.
Yeah.
So if you want to stand up for your wife and say, hey, don't talk to my wife, that's fine and dandy. It would have been out of order. But go ahead. Stand up for what's yours. You know, even on TV, do that. But at the point where you go and you inflict physical harm on somebody who's not causing physical harm to you or trying to cause physical harm to you, and especially in the setting, it's not like this was a tweet that was just sent out to bash and to shame. Most of these jokes are written. Most of these jokes are ran by multiple people during this time. So it's like, even Will Smith as an actor should know that there's some script to this Oscar thing. So my whole thing is, you could have pulled Chris aside, you could have talked to him, you did not have to do that. And I think and what it did, and what I don't like for so many young men and people who are lost out here, it justified them to that, oh, this is what real men do. And it's like, that's not what real men do.
No, it's not.
It's not.
And I think, you know, like I said, he has a platform,
mm-hmm,
right? And you have to understand the entertainment / Hollywood machine is, when you make a move of that magnitude to physically harm somebody,
mm-hmm,
then it undercuts your platform.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand, you know, the first of all, that joke wasn't even funny. Okay, most people ain't even seen G.I. Jane.
Right.
Most people,
I haven't.
You know, most people haven't. And they like, what? Okay. The movie is 20-something years old, right? Like, I still got it on DVD in my basement. You know, it's a 20-year-old movie. It was a lame joke. But let me give somebody advice. Mm-hmm. You got to flip the devil on his head, right? And I'm not saying Will Smith is a saint, because, you know, I ain't judging that man. That's another man's servant, right? Like, that's on God to judge him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to flip the devil on his head and remove the power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if your anger is, okay, my wife has this condition where she's losing hair or her hair is whatever, okay, why not use that joke and flip it and make it a platform to speak about your wife's condition? You know, black women have been dealing with that for decades, right? Like, that is a thing, and there's so many black women dealing with hair loss and hair issues and all this. Why not bring that spotlight and say, okay, let me bring this out then and make this known? That way the millions of people who are watching the Oscars can identify with me, not as a physically violent person, but as a person advocating that, hey, we need to look at women as more than their hair. You know, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
But But, you know, when we give in to that anger, mm-hmm. and we're talking, you know, we're a Christian audience, right? We're talking to believers, right? When we give in to that anger, we give in to that violence, then in that respect, we're no better than the world. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn how to, be able to control ourselves with temperance and then do what God tells us to do.
Yeah, I think that I think you hit it right on. And it's crazy because we are starting a new series at my church entitled Mixed Emotions. Yep. So we're really actually starting that series. And so this, it just added fuel to the fire, right?
That's it.
But I think that, like you said, Will is dealing with a lot. And I just think that, you know, their marriage and Jada, you know, opening up about this entanglement.
Ooh, Jesus.
I think that he's had to take so much of a beating when it comes to social media and jokes. And he's been the butt of a whole bunch of jokes.
A whole bunch, man.
And so maybe he got to the point that he's fed up about it and that it's causing him to react. So the question becomes, did he ever get healing from that?
Honestly, if you ask me that question, I would say no. Mm-hmm. I would say no. Now, I don't know what his therapy looks like. I don't know who his therapist is. I don't even pretend to know any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I know us as men, mm-hmm. and a lot of times what we do is instead of filling our life with healing,
mm-hmm.
we fill our life with stuff.
Mm.
So we do a lot of stuff, and we shape ourselves to become mm-hmm. somebody different to deal with a hard situation.
Mm-hmm.
So when a hard situation comes and it's hurt me and it's wounded me, then I become a harder person to deal with the harshness of my reality.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a PhD, right? I'm mm-hmm. just a pastor that pray for people, and God shows me things from time to time. But I do know this, that when we create ourselves or we make ourselves into this to deal with the harsh realities, oftentimes what happens is mm-hmm. the smallest things trigger us
mm-hmm.
and then it makes us look bad.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's really healed from that.
Yeah.
And if he has, good on him, right?
Right.
If he has, good on him. But I, you know, from my perspective, I don't think he has. And the man need a lot of prayer, man. I know a lot of people, like I put out there, let me just be honest, right? Mm-hmm. Like I put on Facebook, like I'm praying for this man. That's what mm-hmm. I put out there. I'm praying for this mm-hmm. man because he got a lot on his plate. And there were people who were like, well, he ain't living godly. There were other people who were mm-hmm. like, well, you know, they marriage is this and all that. And sometimes that gets in the way of us mm-hmm. doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
We're supposed to pray for them. It shouldn't be a level of people's living where we say, okay, you good enough for me to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
You doing everything right. Let me pray for you. No, we're supposed to pray for everybody.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I pray for Donald Trump. And y'all know, look here, I ain't never said it on the podcast, but woo, Jesus, Donald Trump, Jesus, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So I had to pray for him, but that is our call as a believer mm-hmm. to pray for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you hit that right on the head, and I think that was beautifully articulated. So what did you think about the apology? Now, I'm going to say this. Wills, I feel like Chris Rock was a victim. And I feel like it's almost like I don't like, so Will Smith, Will Smith got up on stage and gave a bullcrap apology because I feel like the only person you owed an apology to at that point was Chris Rock.
It's Chris Rock, yeah.
And you apologized to the Academy. And you talking about you called the love. And to me, that was a whole bunch of just water under the bridge mm-hmm. to me. You know, I didn't buy it. If you wrong, then say, yo, Chris, let's talk. I'm sorry, publicly.
Mm-hmm.
That was your time.
Bring him on the stage.
Bring him on the stage.
And apologize right. in if front you wanted, of everybody.
You had every opportunity to make that right. But then you want to go on social media and write a post. I don't buy that. But the thing about the apology for me was Chris Rock's. So I feel like Chris Rock apologized, and I don't like it. I don't like it because you're a comedian
mm-hmm.
who's hired to do a job, to tell jokes, and you did your job. So now, and I just feel like we're living in a world where everything and everybody is just so sensitive.
Yeah.
So now, what's next? So we're gonna have comedians on stage telling jokes, and we're gonna have people pressing charges and suing, saying that the comedian caused depression because it talked about his big lip, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, bro, you were doing your job, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, alopecia is a disease,
yeah.
But to me, it's not a gravely disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to, you know, you know, talk about anybody who has alopecia, but it's like, if you got alopecia, you ain't dying. Mm-hmm. Right? So now if Jada had cancer, which killed people, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which people like really die and stuff like that, and she going through it, and then you say that joke, that's low to me. Yeah. That's like, that, you scoop kind of too low for that one, bro. You could let that alone.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, she losing her hair. All right, whoop-de-doop. You are a millionaire. Go buy a wig. Go buy a lace front. It's so much you can do. You do not have to be bald. You're bald-headed by choice at this point. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody that has alopecia. All I'm trying to say is that Chris Rock, you were doing your job.
Yeah.
You were telling jokes. Mm-hmm. So they got offended. So if somebody gets offended, I get it. You know, you could say, hey, you know, but it's like, why are we so sensitive as a people? You know, nowadays, you know, you can't even, you know, some people are ignorant and some people do and say things they shouldn't say that makes them like racist or mm-hmm. that produces hate, whatever. So I'm not an advocate for that, but I am an advocate of like freedom of speech. Like, say what you want to say. Like, it's, and you're telling a joke. It's a joke. And there were so many jokes told that night, like about Will in before and after, and it's
everybody.
Like anybody could have got up and smacked anybody at that point. So like, why are we so sensitive as a people that we got a comedian who's paid to host and to tell jokes, he's apologizing for doing his job? Like, we're just so weak as people nowadays, man.
So I mean, if you look at, like, first of all, jokes wasn't that funny, right. Like let's just be honest,
I didn't laugh.
And I don't follow the Oscars like, you know, like mm-hmm. like one of the people who, you know, there are people who have Oscar parties. Like, okay. They have Oscar parties.
Really?
Like, yes, that's what they do. They have a whole party based on the Oscars. Like,
wow.
That's a thing, right? But I do somewhat peek into it because, I am a fan of entertainment. I do like good movies. I love a good movie. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. So, you know, I follow it somewhere. And if you look at a couple years ago, Ricky Gervais. Mm-hmm. He's a comedian from the UK, and he was just, he eviscerated everybody in the Oscars. Way worse than anything Chris Rock said that night. Nobody got up. Nobody reacted like that. The Academy Award, the Academy group, they just said, yeah, you ain't coming back no more. That's a wrap. and you know, he went through, and I mean, he literally roasted the entire crowd. Like,
really?
You can look at it on YouTube. The dude went through and roasted the entire crowd. I think he did that like 2 years in a row or something like that. But regardless of that, you know, it's our expectations when you're going to see a comedian, they're gonna step on toes.
Yeah,
that's what comedians do. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Asian or whoever you are, they're gonna step on some toes, and you kind of enter into it with that,
like, hey, I know I might get talked about if I'm late or if I'm sitting in the front row or
anything, and they're not going to do it from the aspect of I want to protect your feelings. No, they're trying to get a laugh out of a crowd. And the thing is, if you react like that, mm-hmm. like if you get mad and you get upset, you start that's only going to gig them on more and give them more fuel to the fire, and mm-hmm. that's. It's one of the things, we are in a highly sensitive culture, man. We got to be able to laugh at ourselves. We got to be able to, you know, take a joke, mm-hmm. and then, you know, be able to lick our wounds too, right?
Yeah.
And if you are offended, like, let's say, because we don't know their relationship, right? If Will and Chris know each other, then it's a way you handle that, you know?
Right.
Protecting your queen from a, I'm going to tell you, we all know it. We've all seen the meme. Mm-hmm. If Dwayne The Rock Johnson said that,
but my whole thing is, what are you, we at the Oscars, somebody telling a joke, what are you protecting her from? Like this whole notion that you're protecting her from what? From Chris Rock telling a joke?
Yeah.
Like, what are we?
That's what makes me think it's so much bigger than that, right? Because no one reacts like that because of that joke.
So with that, I've seen a lot of people say, this is Hollywood. Will Smith is an actor. Chris Rock is an actor. This is a night to celebrate actors. This thing was not real. What is your take on that? What do you think about that?
I think it was very real.
Think it was real?
I think it was very real because Will Smith has everything to lose mm-hmm. in doing that, right? Like, Chris Rock, he'll gain a little bit of notoriety.
And he has. I mean, he added a second Detroit show.
Yeah.
His shows have been selling out since the beginning.
But
since it happened, rather.
But an actor of Will Smith's caliber who, in the eyes of many people, can do no wrong, right? Now it sets up a camp between people who...
Now, check this out.
You know, follow him or whatnot.
I'm just going to play the devil's advocate here.
Go ahead, yeah.
How ironic, devil's advocate. Ha, 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 ha. Bad joke. Anyway, now, what if Will winning the Oscar was a condition? Oscar's been having low ratings. People ain't been watching it. It's been terrible. Now all of a sudden, it's one night you got the whole world talking about the Oscars. What if Will winning that award was a condition of him slapping Chris Rock for drama?
Conspiracy theory.
I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying, what if?
So,
because you said he ain't got nothing to lose.
Yeah,
but he had everything to gain because he's never won an Oscar before.
Because, well, here's the thing though, this now becomes part of his legacy. And if you can go without winning an Oscar and have a great legacy. You can go without that and have a lifetime achievement award. Like, look at Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't care if he never won an Oscar. My man's is one of the best actors ever.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, ever. Like, it's a list of movies that are great. That means that you sold your integrity for a piece of metal and a couple of applause. And if you
many rappers and entertainers? I saw this interesting clip. It was by Malcolm X that talked about, he said, only in the black community do they call entertainers leaders. He said, these are not leaders. These are puppets. He said, show me the saxophonist in a white community that's a leader. Show me the comedian in a white that's a quote-unquote leader. He said, these are not leaders. These are puppets.
That's right.
And when you look at the notion, especially when it comes to rap and hip-hop, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they sell their soul. Now, I don't know if guys really are here selling their soul. But and a person who studied music and really got heavy into the music industry, what I found out was that if you want to get signed, then you basically, the label is who markets you.
Yep.
So if they want you to sing this kind of song, or they want you to wear this kind of outfit, they want you to do this kind of thing, you do all of that. You change who you are for the fame. One of my favorite artists, PJ Morton, he got a song called Stick It to My Guns.
Yeah.
And he talks about how Hollywood said, hey, you know, we need the radio right now. And he had to break away from that and just say, you know what? I got to be comfortable with just being me and doing my music, because I'm not going to fit in. I'm claustrophobic.
That's it.
I can't fit into your small box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. So it's like, you know, I feel like you said, Will Smith ain't got nothing to lose. But when you think about it, what if they was like, hey, and I'm not saying this is happening. I know this is not a real question, because I can say, what if I had $1 million? You know what I mean? Like, what if this? But it just puts into the mind of how wicked the world is.
It is.
And how wicked even this. And it's like, smack Chris Rock on TV. Because the interesting thing about this was, now I've saw stuff that said, oh, and I feel like it's protecting the integrity. Will Smith was asked to leave and he didn't leave. It's like, this is the Oscars, okay? If they wanted him out of there, the police, they could have got Will out of there. Yeah. They could have went to commercial break, whatever.
Yep.
So after doing that, he still wins his award. And then he's at an Oscar party, you know, dancing. And it's just like, this is a little crazy to me.
It is.
You know what I mean?
It is.
So I just wonder, food for thought, what if, and we see, and I'm no conspiracy theorist, whatever, but it's just that sometimes this way of the world, they'll make you do certain things to gain certain things. You got to give up. Okay, you going to win that Oscar, but guess what? You're going to have to smack Chris. We're going to tell a bad joke. You got to get up and you got to sell it. I mean, he's an actor. And it's like, and then when I seen him get up and give his thank you speech, acting. Like, I didn't feel anything behind. That was, I've been called to love, and God put me here to love and not to hurt people. That was an act, bro.
Apologize to that man. That's what you do.
Right. That was an act.
Apologize to that man.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, the proof will be, I guess, I always look at it like this, because I like mystery movies, right?
Okay.
you always follow the money. All right? So we got, that's what you got. You got to follow the money. So we're going to look, and I it's going to be a long time coming, but, you know, mark your calendars right now. We're going to see who hosts the Oscars next year. And we're going to see where Will Smith is next year. That's going to be, because you got to play the long game with a conspiracy, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
The conspiracy, it can't, because you're not going to get the public, you're not going to get the people looking at it the same year that it happens.
Okay.
Because it's almost already over.
Yeah.
Right? But the next year, we're going to see, do the ratings go up? Who hosts next year? You know, how does that go? You know, are they going to have beefed up security? What is that going to look like? You know, here's the real kicker, right? Here's the real kicker. Is Will Smith going to get better scripts?
Mm.
Because you can't just say, okay, we're going to give you the Oscar. Mm. You can't say that, because that doesn't pay him dividends on the back end.
Mm.
Now we got to see, does he get the good scripts still?
Mm.
Do they still publish him and push him like they did before? Like, that's the only thing in the conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just look at what happened. You got to look at who won and who made off like a bandit. So, follow the money.
Well, shoot, to me, Chris Rock, man, his show, he done added second shows everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He sold out.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, so it's like, hey, you got to let Will smack you. And you, okay, smack me. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they sound just like him. I take that slap.
Right, right.
That's it. But it's crazy, man. Yeah.
So, word to the wise, is I believe in standing up for what's yours. I believe in protecting what's yours.
Yeah.
I believe in protecting your family, protecting your children, protecting your neighbors, protecting your friends. You know, I truly believe in that. You know, I don't. You know, I remember, you know, I'm not one who, if y'all talking about somebody and I'm in the room and if somebody is my friend, I'm going to say, hey, just let y'all know, so-and-so is my friend. I'm going to let it be known, because I'm not going to let you sit up and, you know, I tell a friend, you listen, sit up, some people talk about it, and then you come, hey, well, so-and-so, well, what did you say?
Exactly.
What did you say when you
didn't
was in,
stand up
right,
for
you
me.
Ain't stand up for me.
Yeah.
So you just as guilty as them.
That's it.
So I'm all for that, but I'm not for violence. I'm not for that. And like I said, and if you think what Will did is justified, then every street hood beef where somebody was disrespected and they came and clapped back and came and shot, robbed, did any type of physical harm, then that means that you agree with that. And I don't. So, however, I'm not judging Will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not casting judgment on Will.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he did was disappointing to me. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
I just have to leave it at that. My final thoughts.
I hate that it was us.
Yeah.
Right? I mentioned Ricky Gervais, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Gervais, Caucasian man, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the people, I mean, he went off.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got up. Yeah, they made some faces. People mm-hmm. weren't happy. All this stuff. I mean, he went down the line. He talked about all type of people, right?
Mm.
But nobody did that. They didn't escalate it to that way. And I think that is one of the things in our community that we have to get away from everything being an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? We have to get away from violence being the answer to solving or so-called resolving our beefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, it's not resolving anything.
Mm-hmm.
It makes your flesh feel good,
mm-hmm.
but it usually puts us in a place where we have to pay the piper. We mm-hmm. have to deal with some things on the back end. It's a lot of people in jail right now who, they proved that they was hard. They proved that they was tough. But what did that cost you? Your freedom. It cost you your life. Like, what is this going to cost Will Smith? If it's not something, like we said, a conspiracy theory, but if it's not that, what is it going to cost him in the long run?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it going to cost him? And one of the things which was, this was hurtful for me,
mm-hmm.
like this is like my final word, like on this, is the reaction of his son.
Mm.
Like his son tweeted, yeah, that's how we roll. What? Like, look, like as a father, our jobs is to sometimes, and this doesn't always happen in public. Sometimes as a father, your job is to take the punishment or to stand up in a certain way, and when your sons or your daughters say, well, daddy, you should have did this, you should have did that, then your job as a father to say, well, I couldn't have did that because that leads to this, and then that would have hurt you here, or that would have did this. And that's what hurt me when his son was like, well, that's how we roll. Like, no, that is not what fathers want their sons to do because that has oppressed us for too many years.
Yep.
We got to learn how to play the game. And then it's black on, you know, I hate to, you know, I'm not going to use the term black on black crime because we don't say white on white crime. We don't say Asian on Asian crime. I'm not going to say that.
Right.
But I hate to see when as brothers we can't resolve issues.
Yeah.
When I, you know, even if we don't agree, even if our voices get a little bit loud, why do I feel justified in laying my hands on somebody whose skin tone is the same as mine?
Yeah.
About a joke. Yeah, I understand. Okay, my wife's feelings hurt. That means you're going to have to hear my mouth. I'm going to have to set you straight. That's good enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I escalated to that point of, all right, you know, I got to put my hands on you, and it's not warranted. Like, that's not warranted. Like, a joke is not warranted for slapping somebody.
Right.
This ain't 1935.
Right.
This is 2022. But, you know, that's my final word. Fathers, we got to do a good job of setting examples for our sons.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. You got this episode called Slapped. And, you know, we're just sharing our opinions today. Our opinions doesn't make us right. It'll make us wrong, but it does make us human.
That's it.
And I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy giving it to you, because we certainly did enjoy talking about this. I challenge you, hey, like, share the podcast, leave a review, write a review, tell somebody about it. Yeah, so thank you guys. Love you guys. And we'll see y'all next week.